Pod Researcher, Episode 2. Hey, all you podcasters out there in podcast world. Welcome to Episode 2 of the Pod Researcher Podcast. I'm Jason Wadsworth, your host. And today we've got a great interview lined up with Steve Freese. Just got back from the Portable Media Expo down in Ontario, California, and man, I gotta say, it was a great conference. I had a really good time, went down there with my wife, and I was happy to have her with me. I don't think she was so happy to be there. She was actually pretty bored at the beginning, but as it went on, she got a little more interested. We got a chance to hear Paige and Gretchen from the MommyCast talk, and my wife turned to me and said, "You know what? I might actually listen to that podcast." And so since then, she's listened to a couple episodes, and she says she really likes them. So it's great to see that happen and see new people get interested into podcasting, especially my wife. That way she won't roll her eyes every time I start talking about podcasting. So today's show is going to be really about the evolution of podcasting from its debut. And I'd be willing to bet that most people out there who listen to podcasts now didn't know what a podcast was until the release of iTunes 4.9. And why the release of 4.9? Well, when iTunes 4.9 was released, that was the first edition of iTunes that supported podcasting and supported RSS feeds. And so that essentially turned iTunes 4.9 into a podcatcher, whereas there had only been some open source kind of podcatching softwares out there before. And since iTunes was already so well established in the market, that opened up podcasting to a ton of new people. And so I'm going to talk to Steve Freese about this a little bit, and we're also going to touch on pod fading. And Steve's going to explain for us a little later what pod fading actually is, so why don't we just get right on to the interview. Well, you know, Steve, thanks for taking some time out to do an interview. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your podcasting endeavors?
Sure. Well, I have two shows now. The Shirt Podcast, which is a celebrity interview program about Las Vegas. And my partner and I co-host the show and interview major celebrities, and we have tourist tips and trivia questions, and we discuss, Las Vegas news, Las Vegas entertainment news, and, you know, it's geared towards tourists and people who are interested in celebrities. And I just started about a month ago or so, I started a new show called Petcast, in which I team up with another journalist friend of mine who is crazy about dogs and animals, and the two of us do a half-hour show twice a week about pets and, you know, animals, and, you know, we answer listener questions, and we also interview pet experts, veterinarian writers, people who do funny things with their dogs, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Great. Cool. Well, that sounds like that keeps you pretty busy. So how did you get started in podcasting?
Well, I discovered podcasting when iTunes launched iTunes 4.9, which was the podcast-enabled version of iTunes. I was curious. I hadn't really heard much about it before that, except for that I am a fan of a show that comes out of New York from NPR called On the Media. And every week when I would work on my own website, I would listen to the streamed version through their website. And then at some point in the spring of 2005, there was something on the site that said, "Download our podcast." And I said, "Well, I have an iPod, and I assume I can download a podcast." I had no idea how, and I didn't do it until iTunes incorporated it into the software, and then I was I discovered it. And when I did, of course, it's like when something else, anything else that's new comes along with the internet, you kind of look around for things that are interesting to things that you're interested in. And I downloaded a whole lot, a bunch of stuff, and listened to a lot of it. And my first instinct was not to become a podcaster, but to cover the podcasting medium, which was so new, and I knew it was a good opportunity as a freelance writer to write about it. And so I spent the next several months. I did end up starting my own podcast about 2 months later, but I also spent a lot of time covering the business of podcasting, which was actually sort of my excuse to, on work time, learn about what it is and how it works and what the potential is and who are the players and that kind of thing.
Yeah, you mentioned iTunes 4.9, and you've written an article, I think it was for Wired magazine, about the effect that iTunes 4.9 had on podcasting. So, you know, about a year ago, iTunes releases version 4.9, and they have these podcasting, this podcast subscription service. And so, at the time, there were other podcatchers and other subscription softwares out there. So why was iTunes support for podcast subscription so important?
Well, iTunes, because iTunes is the dominant online music store in general. Certainly there's nobody that compares to the number of households that have iTunes software on their computers already, which was the point. The earliest successes in podcasting were largely, by and large, they were shows that had to do with podcasting or technology, and they still are to some extent. Some of the top shows, This Week in Tech and the various shows that are related to technology. So, that's not a mainstream audience. That's an audience of people who are interested in technology. iTunes is already on millions of people's home computers, so they were, suddenly exposed to a new medium they didn't know existed, and given the opportunity for free to download all sorts of shows that they are interested in. And to the extent that iTunes is a mainstream piece of software that's on a variety of demographics, people's computers, it was a huge leap forward. It was also a huge leap forward because it made it easy. I wasn't a technology person necessarily. I had my iPod, which I used to listen to music, and that was all. I didn't really understand what podcasting was, and for several months there was a show I loved that I would have loved to have had on my iPod that I didn't know how to do it. I saw that there was a way, but I didn't connect it, or I didn't bother to figure out how, or it wasn't that important to me. All of a sudden it was on iTunes, and it was very simple, which is the key to mainstreaming technology.
So that said, where do you, in your opinion, where would podcasting be today if it wasn't for iTunes?
That's a difficult question because I think it was inevitable anyway. Uh-huh. Yahoo came up with a podcast directory. The brilliance of iTunes, of course, is that it is not only an easy-to-use directory, but it's also a directory that is also the software for the most popular MP3 player in the world. So those two things combined, the idea of podcasting essentially is that people can create their own shows, and people were doing that for at least a year before iTunes came along. And they can, syndicate them through the RSS, and people can, get them and listen to them whenever they want to. But whenever they want to and wherever they want to are two different questions. Wherever they want to requires an MP3 player that people use, and the iPod happens to be it. It probably would have been a much slower progression, and I don't think it would be where it is now. But I think that at some point somebody would have figured out that this is an important device, that this is an important medium that will grow. I think it's a hard question to answer because where would the light bulb be without Thomas Edison? Well, somebody would have come up with it at some point. Maybe it would have taken another year, but it would have gotten there.
All right. So, yeah, iTunes just gave, that boost at that moment.
It was a perfect moment.
Yeah.
It was a perfect confluence. Now, here's the other thing, though, okay? About 6 months later, I guess it was, they launched their video podcast service. I mean,
yeah.
They made iTunes video enabled. And while I think that that has worked, I don't think it's worked as well. And I don't think it's worked as well. And it's not iTunes' fault. It's the nature of the difference between the way people use video media and the way people use audio media. Audio media only requires one sense, and you can use it in many different circumstances. Video media requires both you to watch and listen and concentrate. And so, you know, that is those are things that you do at your computer more even than you do at your iPod or your, you know, I mean, I guess people do it. I assume people must do it, but I think that sort of proves that iTunes 4.9 with the audio podcast, was just the right circumstance at the right moment. YouTube came along not roughly the same time as Apple released the video podcast version, and I think that, you know, it's safe to say that YouTube has been a much greater success in terms of, you know, it's a very easy way without a required piece of software to watch, you know, bits of video that people find interesting and funny. Some are long, some are short. They're not necessarily serial. They're not necessarily, you know, a lot of video podcasters are putting their stuff on iTunes, on YouTube also. You know, it's just, they're different types of podcast media. And, you know, I think it just sort of backs up the point that it was the right time with the right circumstances and the right equipment.
All right. And, you know, iTunes is just, you know, one, you know, subscription service. It's just one podcatcher, and there's several other out there. And some people criticize iTunes for taking up, you know, such a big, you know, market share of that you know, podcasting, podcatcher software. Do you think iTunes is, as it gets more popular, is going to have an adverse effect on, you know, the podcasting community?
Well, I certainly hope not. I think that I've heard that. Leo Laporte from This Week in Tech has told me that in reports that I've done on the, you know, recently on the anniversary of the iTunes launch. The notion that any one company has too much control over any type of technology is troubling. There's potential for problems. You know, I adverse effect is a tricky concept. As it is right now, it's difficult for new podcasters to gather audience. I got in on, you know, early with The Strip, and we're doing something unique and getting, you know, first run celebrity interviews on our podcast. The Petcast, I suspect, will be a more challenging effort because we're only starting it up now. There are other pet shows out there. There's no celebrity angle there. There's no news angle to keep us, you know, out front. And if we don't have the right connections with iTunes, we won't get out on their front page, and, you know, it'll be a harder thing for people to find. So I think the adverse effect already exists. I don't think it's, I don't wanna, you know, it's not something you criticize Apple for, because it's not their fault. I mean,
yeah.
they're wise business people who have you know, developed a technology that's easy to use and comfortable. I will say, however, that, you know, there were years ago, there was a point where America Online, as an internet service provider, was the huge gorilla and was gobbling up people like crazy. I mean, you know, they every year they'd have 10, 15 million more subscribers, and it grew and it grew, and then at some point it busted. You know, they now they're offering a service for free. So I think that there's a point where any of these companies will have their challengers. I mean, I believe Microsoft just launched, they just released a new MP3 player. They'll have their own software. If anything, you know, I wouldn't care if iTunes was the only, you know, was the big gorilla, as long as it was compatible with other MP3 players. And that's the problem. The problem is if you have a, you know, some other type of MP3 player, you can't use iTunes. And there are, you know, tricks that Apple has set up, what they call it, you know, if you see out there, there are enhanced feeds. Those enhanced feeds have special formatting that allows you to do fun things like show pictures along the way during the show, or bookmark the show so people can just kind of bounce around and find what they're looking for in your show and things like that. Well, you can do that, and it's a good idea, but it will only work on iTunes software or on an iPod. And, you know, so, it's, you know, you kind of have to play Apple's game if you want the most people to get your show in the best format available.
All right, you mentioned how hard it is for new podcasters to gather an audience, and I think that kind of leads into something else I wanted to talk to. If we want to shift gears for a little bit, and that's pod fading. Now, you also wrote an article about pod fading. And if you wouldn't mind, could you explain a little bit what pod fading actually is?
Well, I mean, it's just the notion that people get all excited about the medium and they get going and they're, you know, running on full cylinders, and then they give up. And usually they give up because they're not getting an audience, and it's frustrating to them, or they lose interest, or they're, you know, maybe they're not very good, or maybe they decide that they have other hobbies that are of interest. What's important to note is that for most people, podcasting is a hobby. And it's a strange experience because whenever you start a podcast, people, friends of yours will say, well, how are you going to make money off it? But when you collect toy trains, nobody asks you how you're going to make money off it. It's a hobby. If there are some people, journalists or, you know, entrepreneurs who do see potential for money, and there are a lot of things you need to do that, including persevere. But if you're just, you know, getting into it because you know, there's something new you want to take for a spin, that's fine. And if it doesn't take off, it doesn't take off, and you may move on to other things or keep doing it because you love it, or because you have a small devoted audience that you get a charge out of. The notion of, you know, it's not any different really than people who give up on other hobbies. It's just that, you know, the word was cool, pod fade just sounded cool, and I was intrigued because there was so much hype around the growth of podcasting in the first 6 or 7 months of iTunes. I was intrigued that there were shows I liked that had disappeared. Or there were people who were, you know, big personalities who had just given up. And, you know, it's a natural progression of a shakeout, you know, attrition in any kind of media or any kind of hobby.
Yeah, and I've noticed that myself, you know, pod fading in different podcasts that I've listened to also. But, you know, is pod fading just a problem for, you know, podcasting hobbyists, or is it a problem for more serious podcasters too?
I don't know if it's a problem at all. I mean, I think that you know, businesses go bust all the time, and you know, it's unfortunate, but it's part of the economy, and you know, it's the way things go. I mean, I think that there are. There are people who believe that podcasting is a terrific opportunity to create a medium where anybody can have a voice. And I agree with that. And I think that, you know, if people don't feel like their voices are being heard and they stop doing it, well, that's their decision. I don't know that it's a problem to anybody.
There are more and more podcasts that we can see, you know, being underwritten by corporations and advertisers and getting sponsors. And with this commercialization of podcasting, do you think we're going to see more or less pod fading?
I suspect you'll probably see more. I suspect that you will probably see some people who get into it blinded by this notion that they'll be making money pretty soon. Okay. And then when that doesn't happen, they'll give up. Or... you know, the corporations will help promote podcasts, and that will help separate shows from other, you know, of like genre from one another. And so, you know, the competition will become more intense for the same listeners. You know, I suspect that as the number of podcasts grow, the number of pod faders will grow too. And, you know, I don't think it's any different than blogs. People start blogs and they stop after a few entries for whatever reason. They get distracted or interested in something else.
Well, hey, Steve, thanks so much for taking some time out.
It was a good excuse not to do my own work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope I didn't distract you from your work too long, but I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Well, good luck to you. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too.
I'd really like to thank Steve for taking some time out of his busy schedule to do an interview for the podcast. He's a really busy guy. He's got a lot going on. And I always really appreciate it when more popular podcasters will take some time out to help a little podcaster like me. So I hope you enjoyed the show and the interview, and I'm looking forward to getting some more out there really soon. I made some great contacts at the Portable Media Expo, and I'm looking forward to contacting them and interviewing them and to bring those interviews to you. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll see you later. You can always contact me to leave suggestions, comments, or encouragement at podresearcher@gmail.com or check out the site at podresearcher.blogspot.com. The music for this podcast was created by Alexander Blue of the PodSafe Music Network. Check him out and check the site for links.